Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. The Tennessee Titans on the field today in training camp. Football season has arrived, kinda. Paul Koharski from PaulKoharski.com will join us at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Right now, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, how you doing, man? How you doing, Robbie?
We're doing.
How y'all doing?
Doing good.
I know y'all were talking about the Titans. I think you're getting ready to talk about the 53-man roster stuff. I just kind of wanted to throw out there who I probably think will be not on that roster. I'm going to go with Caleb Farley. I think the time's up with Farley. I think they may have just given up on him. I think this may be his last round with the Titans this year. I'm going to ask you and Robbie, what do y'all think about that? I know you said Haskins, you don't think he'll be on the roster, but what about Farley?
So, one thing to keep in mind with that, I think, is it $2 million? I think it's a little bit more than $2 million to the cap.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, the cap does have to be discussed in these things. I'm going to guess, you know, that, well, first of all, he may be on PUP, right? I think right now I would guess he'd be, you know, if he's active, if he's off PUP, I think he still makes a 53.
Okay. What about you, Robbie?
I think if he's active, he probably makes it. Now, the question I have is, when is he going to be active? I mean, that's right. The real question, because I have no idea. At least based on the injury that he had last year, I mean, he may not be even close right now as they enter into training camp. So the real question I have is, when exactly would he be activated? But I think if he is in time for camp towards the back part of it, I tend to lean that way, that he would make the team and get one last shot. But who knows? I mean, I do think there's a chance that they just move on, all being in a different general manager and all those things.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. I mean, again, this is the cap. You have to consider it. The cap, you can also manipulate it. So, you know, it's both things. So, yeah, I mean, I think that could happen. But I don't know. You know, can he help on special teams at all? Like, can he give you anything if he's actually healthy? I mean, it's not much at this point. The expectations are obviously very low.
Yeah, no question about that.
Well, Joe, let's get to this good part right quick.
There we go.
You know today's Wednesday. Another round with Jerry Stillman. Joe, we're going to have to try to change some things with this approach you got with Stillman now. You're going to have to turn things around with Joe. You're a journalist. You write for The Athletic. Joe, you write some really good articles. I've read about that. But if you ever notice, Stillman always takes a shot at you about something that you write. You got to take that, Joe, and turn that into motivation. Stillman's not a journalist. He's just a mouth out here talking on the radio. he's not a journalist, Joe, like you.
Wow.
You got to take that, Joe. You got to turn that around. You got to turn his strength and make it his weakness. You got to do this, Joe. You got to work.
I gotta go with Bill Shakespeare on him.
There's a level of professionalism that Rex Road brings to the table that Jared just simply doesn't possess, is what Mark is saying.
That's right, Joe. And just like Robbie,
you're gonna motivate him.
You got to take the page out of Robbie's book when Robbie told him, "Hey, you're scared of me," and Robbie went in there and took care of business, Joe. And you got to do the same, man. You got to do the same, Joe. Yeah, right. We'll have some victories with him, Joe. Take that away from him, man. Make him respect you, Joe. You're a journalist. You're a real good journalist.
Mark,
Stillman's not.
We're fired up, Betty. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, y'all have a good one, man.
You too, buddy.
All right, Mark.
I like it. a professional journalist, capital yes. J, for Joe Rexroad.
Hey, Jared asked more questions than I asked yesterday. Wow. So who's the professional journalist?
I don't think that's – you're starting off on the right approach for what Marcus told you to do. looking forward to Jared versus yes. Joe later today, by the way.
Should be a good one. Should be a good one. Thank you, Mark, as always.
Should be a very good competition coming up later today. Joe, speaking of things that you've written at The Athletic that Mark has thrown out there, you came out with your initial 53-man roster projection yesterday in advance of the Titans taking on training camp. And I don't remember – have you ever done this like immediately before camp has even started before?
I thought so.
I did. Maybe you did. I just don't remember. I'm trying to get you to do – I know the yearly battle of trying to get you to do like three or four 53-man rosters. Yeah. We're already at one, so we're off to a good start.
And the mock drafts, you know.
And the mock drafts.
I got to do more. I got to do more. My plan is – beginning and end, basically. I think I actually in the past have done more than that, maybe even like three, which is some serious 53 overkill. But yes, I like doing it to start. It gives you a sense for the team. You know, you kind of forget some of these guys, and it's a nice exercise to remember who's on the team. And you know, you can see some of these rooms are pretty light on depth and proven players.
They are, and you could check out the entire list, Joe Rexroad's full 53-man roster at theathletic.com. Very interesting names that are on the team and some interesting names that are not on the team based on the projection that Joe Rexroad has thrown out there to this point. But, Joe, really the main question that I have beyond the specifics of the players that will be there and that won't by the time the 53-man comes around – is are the Titans going to end up keeping three quarterbacks? That's what a lot of this boils down to in my mind is can Malik Willis play consistently at a high enough level throughout training camp and the preseason games where, number one, he's on the roster by the time 53-man roster comes around, and number two, maybe he's the backup quarterback by the time the opening day rosters are set at that point. Because if he is and he gets through training camp and he's clearly ahead of Will Levis. Well, we know Will Levis is going to make the team. So at that point, you're keeping three quarterbacks, and that's going to end up costing you a position somewhere else on the 53-man roster. So a lot of the 53-man is going to come down to are they keeping three quarterbacks on the 53 to me?
Yeah, and I really think they will. I think, again, there's kind of some momentum right now from Malik Willis. Good offseason, clearly. I just wonder, you look at some of the teams out there in their quarterback depth, you know, I don't think it's crazy, especially if he now backs this up and has a good few weeks here of football that, you know, someone would sign the active roster. So I think it's a risk you want to take. Like, you know, obviously if he's QB2, then it's no discussion. And I think that's possible, you know, but either way, I think Malik Willis staying power here is rising as a possibility. And, you know, as we've talked about, I mean, next year it could be those two.
And then, of course, if you're keeping the three quarterbacks, which I'm with you, I think at this point that would be the way I think this is going to turn out, is that they're going to have three quarterbacks on the roster on the 53. Then the question becomes, all right, well, where else on the roster does that sacrifice a position? Like, where else on the roster does that maybe take away a spot? And I'm looking at your initial 53, and it looks to me like that spot maybe is at outside linebacker with Harold Landry, Arden Key, and Rashad Weaver.
Yeah, and I may well be wrong. You know, there's some other guys who are vying for spots, and there's always a couple surprises, you know, and they could use that, really. But right now, I look at it like Autry kind of counts that way too. Yep. Sam O can move around, stuff like that. So, and as we know, I mean, they've gone light outside linebacker. So I just have Landry, Key, and Weaver, again, with Autry moving around, things like that. But I'm probably going to be wrong on that. I'm guessing that there's, you know, somebody who makes an impact, is good on special teams, and they have a little bit more depth at that spot. So in that case, you got to take it from somewhere else.
And then there's the receiver part of this, too, with Hopkins coming in. So Hopkins, as we talked about, he slots everybody else kind of down a notch, which is good, I think, for the overall depth of the team and depth at wide receiver. But for guys at the bottom half of the receiving room, what does that mean? I think there are five locks at receiver heading into camp. I think Hopkins, Burks, Phillips, Chris Moore, and NWI are all locks. So that leaves you maybe one spot the guys are competing for, whether that's Racy McMath or Colton Dow, whoever it is. Like, I think there could be one spot maybe available in camp at wide receiver right now. They could keep five. I doubt they'll do that. It'll probably be six. But I think five spots are already locked down with Hopkins coming in heading into camp.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that's actually, I think, a really – and I know, look, you mentioned Mason Kinsey. I mean, he keeps getting better. He's certainly a good guy to have around in camp on the practice squad. But I just think – I think McMath and Dowell are headed for a spot battle here, you know, potentially, because – I do think you need to keep one of them. I mean, even just for, you know, for the special teams aspect, and that's one thing I don't know about Dowell, you know, like how strong is he there to help himself? I mean, I think that you, well, I guess with either of them, I think you could probably sneak either guy on the practice squad.
We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, the roster battles as training camp opens up today. Titans are on the field later this morning and throughout the day today, and we'll keep you covered on that as well here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. More coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
As you open up camp tomorrow, what is the most important thing you're looking for over these next couple of days?
I'm just trying to continue. You know, we talk about training camp as, you know, trying to accomplish three things. We're trying to build in our foundation, you know, of our culture is and who we are and how we want to play. And we want to try to make sure that we're developing a team, that there's a level of camaraderie and trust and accountability that we all have for each other. And the last one is we have to, most importantly, prepare to win. Like that's what we're all here for. So that's going to be – that was my message the other day. That'll be my message this afternoon. You know, as we have to build a foundation, you start over. If there was improvement in spring, great. We need to continue that. But it's the building the foundation, you know, developing a team, and then preparing to win. And then the players will obviously define their role as we work our way through training camp.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at the podium. Titans on the field today for the first day of on-field activities at Titans training camp. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. We've got a pair of three-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix at Nissan Stadium coming up on August 4th through 6th to give away. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of three-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix at Nissan Stadium coming up on August 4th through the 6th. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad has come out with his initial 53-man roster at theathletic.com. We're taking your thoughts on that as well. I got a texter on the text line that says, and it has just gone away from me, so I'll find it again. It says, NWI is on league minimum. He may not be a lock. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. What do you think of that?
And I immediately I jumped all over that. I said, yo, he's a lock. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, I think he's a lock. I mean, in all seriousness,
I think he's a lock.
I think he's a lock. He's solid. You know, he's the guy they love in the building. But what if Dowell's incredible? And what if, you know, the other guy I think actually is good that people are sleeping on, Racy McMath. What if Racy McMath and Dowell are both fantastic in the preseason? It's like they're just too talented.
I mean, it's a great question. Like, to me,
are you dismissing this as a possibility?
Well, I'm not dismissing it as a possibility. I don't know, man. Let's say that happens. McMath has a great camp. And Colton Dow, you look and you say, you know what? We feel really good about him. I guess the question I would have at that point would be, how confident are you, if you're the Titans, that you could get Colton Dow through to the practice squad, given that he's a seventh-round pick at that point?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, look, people around the NFL are watching other teams' tape and preseason games. And, you know, if Colton Dow is going out there every preseason game and catching six passes for 111 yards – then he's probably going to catch the eye of somebody out there. So I don't know. I think a lot of that answer would be how confident are you that you could get one of those guys down to the practice squad?
Right. Yeah. Unless Dowell's so good, it's like, gosh, he's got to be like four, you know, but yeah, no, I mean, and I think you're probably okay, but you do never know. I mean, the Titans, I think it was like 10 snaps of Giants preseason football from Khalif Raymond, you know, that they talked about when they talked, you know, when he signed everything. It was like, I mean, they didn't have a ton, you know, you have word of mouth and things like that. I do think Dowell's talented. So there are other bad receiver rooms around the NFL. I think they'd be okay, but yeah, you don't know.
It's amazing that in 2 weeks we've gone from who's going to play receiver for the Titans to now maybe they've got too many receivers and they're worried about losing one of the practice squad. Oh, my goodness.
That room is just stacked, man.
Just loaded with talent. Mason on the text line says, Rand coming from San Francisco and them seemingly needing three quarterbacks every year. Does that play into us keeping all three of ours? This is from Mason on the text line.
Yeah, well, that he knows about bad QB injury luck. You know, someone, by the way, I think Keith asked about the new third QB rule. Remember, like that can't be a practice squad quarterback. It has to be an active roster quarterback, right, who then doesn't count against your active game day number. So, no, that doesn't change it.
Right. So a lot of people are saying you could just pull him up from the practice squad and go that way. They've got to be on the 53-man roster for that part of it to qualify. So, I mean, if I had to put a percentage on it today, Joe, and maybe you tell me whether or not this is too high. Like, I'm going 70% that they're keeping three quarterbacks on the 53. Is that too high? Is that fair?
Honestly, I might be a little higher. I mean, I kind of almost expect it. I mean, it's, again, there's still, maybe it's a little bit like it's been so long since we've seen anything, and then you hear this or you hear that about Willis. But I think I might go close to 80 on that.
It's really interesting because if you would have said that after the draft, like after they drafted Will Levis, I would have said Tannehill 1, Will Levis is your 2, and Malik Willis you're probably trying to sneak through on the practice squad. Yep. And look, we'll see. Now, he could come out in camp and maybe Willis doesn't look very good and he doesn't take advantage of the preseason opportunities and maybe the thinking shifts at that point. But, you know, there's been enough chatter on the Malik Willis part of it where I think you have to pay attention to it at this point if you're trying to project out as to what that could mean for him making the team.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is at least, I think he's got a chance to, you know, he's trying to solidify himself as a QB2 in this league right now. And that's really what it is for him, right? I mean, obviously, he's the one playing for a spot, not Levis. So, look, it's promising. The games are going to matter a lot. Again, as we've discussed a million times, you know, we never should have seen him play football last year. And it would be so different right now. Well, it'd be different on the roster, too. But he's one of the most fascinating players on this team in the preseason, no doubt.
So we talked about the depth of the offensive line heading into camp, as Vrabel addressed it yesterday. And I'm looking, you've got 10 offensive linemen making the team on your initial 53. I'm really interested to see how that lines up and how they view some of these guys. I mean, you know, George Fant, is he going to be signed to a contract? Does that factor in? Is he not going to be signed? And maybe they're comfortable with Jamarco Jones in that spot. You know, what they do and the decision that they either do or don't come to with George Fant, I think really influences the way the rest of the roster is going to shake out.
Yeah, and I just threw him on there. I mean, I've been right on that. I think one year I just guessed Gostkowski because maybe they were going to call him, and he ended up on the team. So there you go. So thinking back on great 53s past. But, no, I got him on the team right now. As I look at you look at that list. I mean, yeah, like you said, I had 10. And remember, like for mine, I didn't even include Farley, Dylan Radins, or Josh Thompson because I just don't know if they're gonna be available. I mean, I think Farley, like we were talking about earlier, Farley and Radins may well, you know, they'll just be on PUP when the season starts, and who knows for how long. So, but yeah, I mean, I mean, essentially, you know, with this offensive line group, though, you got some names. You're digging deep to find somebody who can help you. I mean, I got Jordan Ruse making it. You know, I think he was pretty good in the spring. I think Levin's solid. But, I mean, you start getting down that list, and there's so much you don't know. I think Xavier Newman is a guy some people thought could develop into a good player. And then, of course, Jamarco Jones is just – it's a huge question. Because to me, if he's not good enough to, like, be a possible answer at right tackle, then I think you go younger on the roster, right?
I think you'd probably have to. At that point, Maddie on the text line says, I'm going 90% they keep three quarterbacks, especially with them having Levis and Willis. I don't think they'll have a full answer for their backup at the start of the season. This from Maddie on the text line.
It's an interesting point. Like, that's another thing. It's like, to me, you also, you need to like feel good about QB too. It's not just about these guys' future in this comp. I mean, you need to feel much better about QB two this year than you did last year, you know? So how does that look? How does that look with reps?
That's a great question. And, you know, I would assume today as they take the field that Malik Willis is probably going to be the two, and then Will Levis will be the three today. Now, can Malik Willis hold him off? Does that change at some point? You know, time will tell, and I'm sure the preseason games are going to play into that too. I mean, I'm looking around, and some people have asked this, and I don't think the Titans are going this route at this point, but like veteran quarterbacks that are still out there and that are available. Carson Wentz hasn't been signed.
Huh.
Matt Ryan's doing CBS, so he's not officially retired yet, but he hasn't been signed. Bridgewater's out there. Joe Flacco's out there. Nick Foles is out there. Like, I don't anticipate the Titans getting involved with one of those veteran guys.
No, I don't either. I mean, look, Vrabel was okay going last year into the season with Willis and dropping Woodside. I think I don't think that'll be any kind of consideration. I think it'll be one of these two guys.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We have more on the Titans coming up next, including a narrative out there about the newest Titan. Do we really care about it? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Norfolk Tides, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, we played some comments earlier from DeAndre Hopkins at his introductory press conference yesterday. One of the things that I think he tried to make clear yesterday was the practice narrative around him. And there's been that narrative thrown out there that he doesn't like to practice all that much. And he basically, at one point yesterday, like stopped short of, I think, revisiting the Bill O'Brien Houston situation when they were about to trade him away, saying that a lot of it maybe was manufactured from that. But it didn't seem like DeAndre Hopkins had a whole lot of time for the I don't like the practice part of the discussion yesterday. So what did you make of, I guess, his approach on that? And I guess my second question to that is, how much do we really care about that as to whether or not he loves to practice heading into training camp?
Well, first of all, yeah, like I got in an argument with like Glennon Kaharski, you know, the guys on the balcony of the Muppets, about, you know, so it's like this narrative, if it was spun out of the trade or whatever, like Glennon's like, yeah, they were, you know, doing that before they trade. I'm like, well, he must be saying afterward, right? Like it was in the spin of the after trade, right? Like, why would you do that before something like that? But anyway.
Right, like lower his value. Like, by the way, he doesn't like to practice. Right. You want him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's terrible. Here, what can I get for him? Yeah, no. And I do want, like, honestly, I don't know. Like, is that when this started? I don't even really know any concrete criticism, but obviously, it's hit him. I mean, I guess that was part of last year with the Cardinals. Like, I don't even really know how big of a narrative this is with him.
Well, here's what Hopkins had to say about it yesterday over at St. Thomas Sports Park. Here was the clip from DeAndre Hopkins at the podium.
You said something, you made a crack there about not practicing. Is that overblown? Do you take Veterans Day as off? Just like
Of course that's overblown. I think that started in Houston, you know, when they were trying to, you know, whatever. But of course, yeah.
So he was just stopping right short of it, not going back down that rabbit hole there. And look, he talked about, you know, if you've been in the league that long and you've been as productive as he's been, you have to be able to practice and to get better and all those things. And I think we recognize all that. Now, having said that, Joe, I mean, I'm pretty confident as we get into training camp now, there are going to be days where the Titans are out on the field and you look out there and either Hopkins isn't out there or Hopkins isn't doing much when he's out there at this point. And that's no different than what we'll probably see at times from Derrick Henry or what we'll see at times from maybe Jeffrey Simmons. Vrabel has his plans for players every year heading into camp, and I imagine that we're going to see some practices where DeAndre Hopkins isn't out there. I don't really care all that much as long as he stays healthy. Like, I mean, he's going to – I want him to be healthy and ready to go. Like, I don't really care about the practice part of it if I'm the Titans.
I mean, like, to me, you know, practice, once the season gets going, you know, whatever. Can you play on Sundays? Are you okay to play? You know, the offense. I mean, to me, it's more the fact that he showed up for the entire preseason. That's when those reps, you know, do matter with him and a new quarterback, right? So, I mean, to me, he's already kind of like that. The fact that he wanted to sign, get in here, and get started right away, I think that's a great sign. Yeah, I don't – the whole practice thing is – I mean, Vrabel – actually preemptively told us that he's going to miss a couple here coming up, yep. You know, like, so it clearly like bothers him, but I still don't even really, I don't, it's kind of irrelevant, isn't it?
I mean, I think so. I mean, look, the Julio, and everybody goes back to Julio, right? Because the conversation around Julio was kind of the same. Like, he doesn't love to practice, doesn't love to be out there,
but he got hurt.
But that's the thing. Like, he got hurt, and that's where I guess that's where I draw the line of whether or not I care about it. Like, can you be on the field enough if you're DeAndre Hopkins, whatever it takes to get your body ready to play and to be healthy, right? Like, as long as you've got your body in a good spot by the time camp rolls around and you're not susceptible to the hamstring or the soft tissue injuries or all those things, then I couldn't care less of how much he practices throughout the season. I just want his body to be healthy. Now, to your point, I do think there's value early in camp here of him getting reps in with Ryan Tannehill on the offense, and he will. I mean, he's going to be out there at times getting in reps with Ryan Tannehill on the offense and getting on the same page and all those things. So I'm not saying that it's meaningless. I just think some of the practice narratives around these guys at times are a little bit overblown.
I mean, what is that? I'd actually like to know, like, and in fact, now I wish I asked John McClain this. I wish I knew that, you know, this idea of, like, it's spinning out of the trade time. You know, by the way, we had McClain on, and, I think he's gushed about Hopkins as a guy, like, on every show on our station in the last week, right? And that's someone I trust who covered every minute he was there and also, like, talks to everybody in that organization. So, yeah, I don't see much there. I mean, Hopkins also talked about, you know, being excited to, you know, to mentor, Treylon Burks and the guys. I mean, I think he's going to be like, again, like, Vrabel was around him for years. So They kept in touch afterward. I think that should probably tell you something.
Well, we've talked about, like, the difference between the Julio and DeAndre Hopkins part of this, just from that standpoint, like, just the Vrabel standpoint, I think is huge and probably tells you everything you need to know. Now, look, the one thing that I will say about the practice part of it is I don't want to see him get hurt in training camp in practice, because that's been a problem in the Titans receiving room in the past, is guys being hurt in training camp and then having something that just kind of nags with them all year, whether that was Julio. I mean, we talked about, you know, I brought up the Marcus Johnson example a few weeks ago of,
oh yeah,
he was rolling through training camp, looked like one of their best receivers out there, and then it was just injury after injury, and he never could get going on the field. So whatever Hopkins has to do to get his body ready for the season, I'm cool with if I'm the Titans.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that is the concern, and it's valid. I mean, it's good that, like, last year was an improvement from the year before, but the year before still happened, and there's still a cumulative effect, and there's a PED suspension, so that's what it's all about. You tell me that, Hopkins can play in like 14 games and practices twice all season, great. I mean, by the time, you know, they get into the flow of the season, he and Tannehill should have a good thing built. Remember, Hopkins also, I mean, that's the thing you forget, like at Houston, how many bad quarterback after bad quarterback he had to go through too, and he still was able to produce.
Oh, and by the way, like the practices that the Titans have gone through throughout the season the last few years, some of it based on injury, have been like basically glorified walkthroughs with the way that things have gone the last couple of years.
With the guys missed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt about it. Also, yeah, to your point on the Vrabel, I mean, yeah, Hopkins, along with these days they talked about, he's going to miss him. I mean, Vrabel is huge on that. I don't see that changing. I know there's the talk of like the blister and all that stuff, but I think we're still going to see a ton of that this camp.
I got a texter on the text line from Maddie. Are we practicing against another team this year? I would like for Nuke to be available for that as well. This is from Maddie on the text line. I think they're practicing against the Patriots and the Vikings, aren't they?
Yes, up in Minnesota with the Vikings and the Patriots here. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be good work. And obviously, in those days are some of the best, and kind of having a glimpse because you have good versus good, at least in some drills. So, yeah, I mean, I think he'll, I mean, I don't, especially as much as this bothers him, I think he'll probably be out there any day that Vrabel doesn't tell him to sit down, you know?
I can see the Hopkins one-arm push-ups right now for the Patriots not offering him a better deal. He's going to tear him up in that practice that week. Watch. Can't wait.
Reunion with apparently the guy who started the non-practice
narrative. He'll go out and intercept a Mac Jones pass on defense. He wants to be out there so bad.
You know, like if that, the more I think about it, like, that really is wild. Like, that he might have signed with them, if that's true, too. If, like, making up a practicing is actually what happened here.
Yeah. Just, that's why the Bill O'Brien part of this, we talked about lining up what makes sense for him and what doesn't. I always, in the back of my mind, was like, huh, kind of feels like the Bill O'Brien, DeAndre Hopkins experiment didn't end overly well in Houston. Are you going to go back there and sign up for that? I don't think so.
Yeah, but people were downplaying that. I know. You know? So, I mean, he at least got close enough to visit, so he must, I mean, you know, at some point it's like, okay, I can tolerate this for that, you know, for that deal. But, yeah, I mean, how could you possibly, like, pretend to just totally get over that and gloss that over, and you're working with each other every day?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, but we'll see what Hopkins looks like in training camp and the practice habits that take place then. But been a very popular topic of conversation around DeAndre Hopkins heading into all this mix. By the way, Rand Carthon scheduled to speak later this morning at 8:50, Titans general manager. So looking forward to that coming up a little bit later in the show here today. Make sure you're tuning in to the Chase McCabe Show and Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace this Wednesday and Friday as they broadcast live from Titans training camp. They'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with Titans practice as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by the Simmons Bank Open and Parman Energy. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant. Here on Robbie and Rex Road, you can check it out every morning at 7:45. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You guys have officially made me lose my marbles! This is a nightmare! What will you learn?
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Executive producer Nick Keiser feeling himself behind the glass over there, making some new intros. I like it.
Do you know that meme?
Good stuff.
I've seen it for you. Oh, you did, that's all you had to thought?
No, I was just asking if you knew the meme or not.
Okay, I thought you were going to go into some grand explanation there. Okay. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get back into the Titans and training camp with him. Joe, there is one situation in sports right now that is very intriguing to me. And I know we're hot and heavy into football now with training camp coming up. And I've described myself in the past as probably the casualist, if that's a word, most casual of casual baseball fans. I'll watch every now and then, and it's fun to watch the Braves doing well right now, and I think there's a good chance they're going to win the World Series, so I'm all in on that. Looking forward to watching them and seeing what they can do in the postseason. But we are less than a week away from the trading deadline in the MLB, and there is one thing that's really, I think, one of the most fascinating stories in sports right now, and that is what's going to happen with Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. And my rant today kind of stems from an idea that I heard over the weekend from multiple people kind of discussing this as they look ahead to Shohei Ohtani. So the Angels are in a playoff race that right now, today, they would not be in the postseason, and Mike Trout's been hurt and all those things. And, you know, when he comes back, we'll see what they're able to do. But in the meantime, like, they're fighting for a wild card spot. They've not been in the playoffs for almost a decade, which is kind of incredible to think about when you think that they've had arguably the best player in baseball in Mike Trout for that period, and now what could be the best player in baseball in Shohei Ohtani the last couple of years here. And the argument I've heard that I just really can't for the life of me understand, Joe, is you don't trade that guy. Like, you never trade one of the best players in baseball and a guy that may go down as maybe the best player to ever play the game, when it's all said and done in Shohei Ohtani, just based on the different things that he can do. And some of the examples that were brought up was Babe Ruth, right? And the Red Sox trading Babe Ruth to the Yankees and the curse that came after that and all those things. You don't trade guys like that. And I guess, like, on the surface, I understand that. But you know what you really don't do, and that would be horrible business management at that point, is you get through the rest of this season, you don't trade Shohei Ohtani, he doesn't re-sign with you, and you lose him for basically nothing. Like, I think if they lose him in free agency, they get, like, a compensatory pick between the second and third round of next year's draft. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. Do you know what the return you could get would be for Shohei Ohtani at the trade deadline this year? Like, to me, it's pretty black and white, Joe. You either feel like you're going to re-sign him, and you re-sign him, or you trade him and get the absolute haul that you would get back for trading him at that point.
Yeah. Well, look, I agree that you don't just rule it out, right? Like, you can't take it off the table. But it is depressing, isn't it, that, like, that would be a consideration? I mean, and to me, if I'm them – and you have a chance to get into the tournament, that tournament can be crazy. But it is depressing. But I agree with you. You can't just rule it out. You might get half a franchise.
Well, I was reading a piece from Jeff Passan from ESPN, who put this out there yesterday, looking ahead to the deadline. Says, Ohtani is the sun around which baseball orbits, this week especially. And although winning five of their past six has thrust the Angels back into at least the precipice of postseason contention, they still need to leapfrog Boston, New York, and the current owner of the third American League wildcard, Toronto, to secure a playoff spot. If they decide that's likely, hold on to Ohtani, and then watch him leave via free agency, the Angels could end up with nothing to show for it but a pick between the second and third rounds of the 2024 draft. On the continuum of outcomes, that ranks somewhere between unconscionable and dreadful. That's what Passan had to say about the decision facing the Angels right now. Like, so, I mean, look, they've tried to re-sign him, obviously, and it just feels like he wants to play somewhere else. So, like, at some point, to me, Joe, you got to face the music if you're the Angels and say, okay, well, what's the haul going to be in return for a guy like Shohei Ohtani, who might be the best hitter in the game of baseball right now, and also is a heck of a pitcher? I mean, you just don't see that happen in Major League Baseball. Right. So, like, I think they need to trade him. Now, the one thing that I did hear and that I do agree with is, if you're the Angels, I would be trying like heck to avoid trading him to the LA Dodgers, because that would not go over well in that market, probably.
That is true. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. God, it's just like, I mean, it's going to be, who are the top suitors right now for him?
Good Lord. I mean, everybody. Dodgers are in there. I mean, they're going to want him. I mean,
they're in there for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are going to be in there. They're going to try to get him. I mean, there's going to be a lot of the Rangers, I think, have been rumored to be in there for Ohtani. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are going to throw their name into the hat if he's available, for sure. And it's going to cost a ton to get him.
What is the haul? Like, has a haul been reported in terms of, like, it's in this parameter?
Not really. I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, some of these baseball deals that get made, you look and you say, they've given up, what, like 13 draft picks and all these different trade items, prospects, all these things. Like, that's how the Astros basically built their team, is they were really bad for a long time, right? And they traded away all these players and got all these assets, and that's how they built their World Series team. Like, to me, if you're the Angels,
then they cheated.
They cheated too. They started banging that trash can. But if you know that he's not coming back, I just don't see how you could let him walk out the door for nothing. Now, like, personally,
especially if you know. If you know, then yes. I mean, of course.
Like, personally for me, like, I look at him and I would love to see him stay there. Like, to me, the idea of him and Mike Trout playing together, the fact that they've not made the playoffs is just unbelievable to me.
It's
absurd. I think it's a huge commentary on the rest of the Angels organization. Like, yeah. I don't really want to see him go to, like, the Dodgers. But I feel like that ultimately a place like that's probably where he's going to end up.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's, you know, not only an incredible player. I mean, I think he's brought some star power back to MLB that is really needed. You know, I mean, people stop what they're doing and watch when he's out there. And there aren't a lot of guys in the league who say that about you. Have been able to say that about Mike Trout. And you're right. I mean, how the heck has that team been so bad otherwise?
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. Got the LD on the text line, says, from everything I've read, he wants to stay on the West Coast, but please not the Dodgers. Can you imagine if he ends up on the Dodgers? Like I think that would probably be well, that could be a possibility. Maybe the Padres. The Dodgers, they have enough. We don't need to see Shohei Ohtani out there.
Well, the Dodgers have become what the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees are still the Yankees too, but right, the Dodgers have become that Yankees of long ago, right? Where everybody despises them and they go sign everybody.
Tully in the Borough says, "Don't trade the big guy, Dale Murphy, Herschel Walker. Sometimes the trade is the seed of success." That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't just let him walk for nothing.
Yeah. No. So when you say that there's talk about it, like you're saying, like,
oh, there's like
reports that they're considering it.
I've heard reports that they're considering it. You know what that would look like to make a playoff run, to maybe have like one last push with him and Trout together. I mean, I understand the idea of considering it. I really do, because you want to try to have something to show for having maybe the two best players in baseball on the team at the same time. But right, like, what if you don't make the playoffs? Like, what if you keep him and you're not able to come to a deal with him and you don't make the playoffs and you just watch him walk out the door this summer? Like, how devastating is that to a franchise?
Nah. I mean, if you know, I mean, do you think that if you make a run, that'll help talk him into staying, you know? Or do you just think, hey, you know what? Get Trout back. This team could win it all this year, and then you worry about it later. I mean, that's like the only way it's not completely panned, right?
Well, it's just such a different situation with him, because like, I'm not sure we've ever seen anything like him, and I don't know that we will again. Like, he's such a unique player from what he can do pitching and hitting. I mean, look, the guy has hit, 36 home runs so far this year. I mean, he might end up with 50 home runs at the end of this year, and then you could just trot him out there and he can throw you 9 innings and go win a game for you on the mound.
I mean, it is Babe Ruth. I mean, like, there's been no one like this since Babe Ruth.
It's unbelievable. So we're less than a week away. I'm very fascinated to see what the Angels end up doing at the trade deadline with a guy who is unbelievable at what he does in Shohei Ohtani. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they open up training camp today on the field. That is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.